when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our ambitious goal is 100,000 schools in the next 10 years will be using some part of the Learn Life model. And we think that's going to be possible at the rate that we're developing a tech platform to support it so that we can be open source and share a lot of what we're doing in the methodologies and also enable learners to connect from all over the world. We also have a remote hub that we're calling Home Hub so that learners can connect from all over the world and start joining now. One of the big issues was we had this demand coming in, but we were like, well, how do we get involved? And so now you can take workshops online.
How you day? That was one of the voices behind Learn Life. Learn Life is fascinating to me. In the episode, you see that I was interviewing a bunch of people, you know, part of the team behind Learn Life, as well as some of the students in Learn Life. And they're an educational program and system that is all about discovering and empowering your skill set, especially one that fosters and focuses on self-determination, purpose-inspired, and personal learning. So it's a learner-centered type of educational system. And given the year we've had, and I think what the future is going to show, I'm truly fascinated by the idea of educational curriculums designed with the learners in mind. Outside of this, I am a professor and I am involved in a lot of educational systems, but I've come to learn that the best way to get the best out of students is to have them collaborate with you. That's something I certainly wish I had. So I'm hoping that as you are learning about Learn Life, you are thinking about your kids, you're thinking about your nephews, your nieces, or people you know that could benefit from this. I think it's a truly inspiring platform. And if the audio is in and out, it's because I caught them in between school. So you might hear some background noises, but please brave through the outside noise and check them out. The links to what they're up to will be in the show notes as usual. Without further ado, let's get to the episode.
Welcome everyone to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today I have a big team. A very big team, and they got big rings. Sorry, it's a Drake reference, but I have the Learn Life team, and Learn Life is, you know, they're a group of change makers united by a passion to create a lifelong learning paradigm. We're going to be discussing what these paradigms are. I have a member of their team, Devin. I also have a group of their learners who are going through the paradigms as well. So what I'm going to do with this episode, because this is an episode unlike any episode in the 500 plus episodes I've done, I'm going to pass the mic virtually to Devin, who's going to tell us a little bit about the organization, and we're going to go around and learn all about the learners. And from there, we'll talk about the importance of passion in being a change maker in today's world. Devin.
I didn't plan this. Can you hear the clapping in the background? Did you notice both times that you said my name, they clapped? That wasn't on purpose.
I honestly did. I didn't know.
But, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice. I'm not that egotistical, but if people clapped all the time, but we have this week, what's called Transfer Week, where the learners who are working on projects together. I'll pause for a second.
I hear the clapping now.
I hear it. Okay. Yeah. We have a thing called Transfer Week where the learners, after 3 months of working on different projects and things, they come together to work on some kind of collaborative project to transfer what they learn in different disciplines to different contexts. So they can talk about that later if they want to. But just some quick background about LearnLife. We got together a group of kind of rebel rousers and change makers in education to think about what it would look like to really make this paradigm shift in education happen. So we looked at the most innovative schools around the world and tried to take best practices to see what are they doing, what is moving and shaking in education. And we started with this hub in Barcelona, and we're at the moment, we have a primary through secondary, but we're also launching hubs. We have about 80 leads on hubs that will start. We just signed a few contracts with other hubs that will launch around Europe and then hopefully into other continents soon. So the principal idea is about giving learners more agency, more power over their learning journey, and the capacity to learn how they want to learn, when they want to learn, and what they want to learn. So I typically try not to talk too much because the kids are more interesting to hear from. And, you know, it's best practice as a teacher, too, to not talk so much. So I can pass the mic from there.
I love it. Yeah. So please. So basically, you're in Barcelona, you're growing your first learning hub, and it's an innovation community, and you're all exploring different learning. All right. Well, Alba, what do you do at Learning in Life?
Do I tell my experience with it?
Yeah. Experience why you chose Learn Life and what you hope to create.
Well, I mean, my experience through, like, well, I'm probably quite new right now, but yeah, I mean, my experience was just amazing and absolutely fantastic, actually.
What are some of the things that you're working on right now, Alba?
Oh, I really enjoy doing writing, or as we call it here, CCLs, or literacy. And I really find it that I can express myself through writing, and it's really cool.
Huh. Is it so? Okay. So you, now you're in Barcelona, my understanding is correct. And in Barcelona, you decided to go down this path with Learn Life because did you feel like there was a gap in the traditional educational platforms you were interacting with, or was there a specific skill you wanted to develop? Because I noticed you mentioned writing. Did you feel like this was a good place for you to work in your writing?
I mean, I like more the creative part of everything. And in traditional schools, it's more strict and just exams that just stress me out. And
interesting. All right. So this works more. This flexibility, and then there's some creativity that works there for you as well. Okay. Appreciate that. Mateo, is that the same for you?
A bit the same. I think Learn Life. I think my experience was better in Learn Life than any other school. Well, not any other school, but since I came to Barcelona, I went to school, and that school I went to was not the greatest, you know. Like I would say, exams, teachers stressing me out a lot. the teachers don't really understand me. In the old school, they didn't really understand my level, like in math, English, and all of that. And in Learn Life, I think they understand me a bit better, because I at the beginning, Learn Life, the first time I came to Learn Life was for a stop motion class. But after, when I heard it was a school, I was excited. So I said, I'm going to try it out. So first time I came to Learn Life, it was very fun, very fun. And I was happy that they understand my level and like what I have to work, like, how to say it, like they understand my level.
Yeah, I hear that. Now, I got to ask you all, are you all from Barcelona? Are you all from Spain?
I'm from England. I moved here 7 years ago. I've gone through like a good 12 years of my life in traditional education before I came to, no, 12, 14 years of my life in traditional education before I came to
Now, so for those listening, that's Zeus. Now, Zeus, you're from England, and you, how did you hear about the program?
Well, I heard about it when it originally started up. My parents started looking into it. If traditional school wasn't quite working for me, as I have a large passion for technology and computer programming and all of these technological aspects of studies that I couldn't quite pursue at my old school. They was just very limiting in terms, because the school I attended was very focused on pure academics and language. And there was a clash of interests between me and the school. And there wasn't any other good international schools in my area. And once we heard of Learn Life, it piqued my parents' interest, and we decided to go check it out. I unfortunately wasn't able to go for the first 2 years of Learn Life's life because of, my parents wanted to keep me in my school, but for my last year of high school, my parents decided to pull me out and put me into Learn Life. And I have to say, it was probably one of the better decisions we've made so far. And my time here has definitely allowed me to grow in ways that I could have never done in the Jewish
This is fascinating, because I'm so curious. I'm going to come back to you because I have a few questions on that, but I want to go to Cayman and Pablo. So I'll start off with you, Cayman. Are you also international, or are you from Spain?
Oh, yeah. I'm initially from Texas, the States. So.
Oh, even the United States.
Yeah. And I moved to Spain like 10 years ago. And after 9 years, we found Learn Life, and that's where I came here.
Okay. And so was it your parents are the ones that decided to, try a different path?
It's more like my brother, he was in Austin, Texas, and he was in the school called Acton, and it's kind of similar to Learn Life. And so they saw how well it went for him in that school, and they wanted the same for me. So they tried to find something in Barcelona, and they found this place.
Yeah. Was it your parents' job that brought you there?
Yeah.
Gotcha. And Pablo?
I was born and raised in Barcelona. My mom is Mexican. And something that I think is really important, I've been going to traditional school since I was born. I've always been that kid. Let's just say I was the clown class, and I always failed, and I was the kid that, like, not trouble, but because everyone loved me, even the teachers, but I was the kid that always failed and was never doing good at school. Yeah. Last year I did an exchange here in the US. That was an experience, and COVID messed it up, and I had to come back to Spain.
Yeah.
And when I came back, I tried to join another traditional school, but none of the schools accepted me. None of the public school accepted me. So I was with no schools in the middle of the summer, and when it's really hard to join a school because all the spaces are already full and everything. So my mom was like, "You have an interview in this school. We're going on Friday." And I was like, "I'm going by myself because I'm 17, and for the first time, I have the chance, and I'm able to make a choice on what's my next step."
My God, so, good job!
So my mom was like, "Okay, you're going," and I was like, "If I don't like it, you guys don't even have to come to talk to the principal because it's my decision." So I came, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And next day, my parents came, and they liked it too. And here I am.
Wow.
And you said you wanted us to talk a little bit about what do we do and how Learn Life helped us. And something I really liked is that I'm able to work in what I want. At the same time, doing what Learn Life asked me to, like deliverables and projects that are not related to what is my passion. But something I really like is that I'm free to work in my passions and things I like.
Wow, this is blowing my mind. So I don't know how much you all know about me. I'm from Nigeria, but I grew up in 5 countries and 4 continents. My dad was a diplomat, and so we moved around a lot. And that was why I moved around a lot. So I went to all sorts of schools. And I'm trying to think if I was in, if I had the opportunity to have this type of school, it would have definitely helped me out, especially as a creative. I'm a writer, speaker, and consultant. So it's fascinating hearing all of you be so confident about what you wanted to do. I know at your age, I was having a huge identity crisis, but that's what I'm receiving though. But Devin, I got a question. I got several. First of all, how long has this school been around?
We started in a tiny co-working space with about 5 kids 4 years ago. And then we've basically doubled in size every 3 months until now. I guess maybe every 6 months. But yeah, now we have a big, beautiful building in the middle of Barcelona, and we have 70 kids at this hub and in the secondary, and then we have another almost 40 down at our primary, with kind of growth continuing to happen.
Wow. Okay, so why Barcelona, and what grade levels?
So it's first to 12th grade by the American system.
Okay.
And we have it was what grade levels and what was the other?
And why Barcelona?
Why Barcelona? It just happened that the two of the co-founders are from here, and I happen to meet one of them here, and so it just seemed like and Barcelona is fertile soil for innovation, for change. And there's a number of programs here that are on kind of their journey to innovation in school. So it's not something that's totally new. It's not like we would drop in the middle of somewhere super conservative that wouldn't have it at all.
Fair enough. Well, I got to ask, I'm a professor, so I teach students as well. But I became an adjunct professor during the pandemic, though. So I didn't really get a lot of in-person class. All my classes were via Zoom. What was it like during COVID, you know, in Spain, in Barcelona? How? Because I'm looking at all of you. You're in a classroom, it seems like. So how have you navigated that? How did you deal with the restrictions and still make sure projects were turned in on time? And anyone can talk, but I'm just curious, what was it like?
Cayman, do you want to, since you were the only one with us in the remote program, do you want to talk about what it was like to do remote with us for that year?
Yeah. It was quite difficult because you had the challenges of disconnect. Like, people were disconnected since it wasn't face-to-face. It was harder to engage in the activities. And so it was quite difficult to attend to the calls and like give your full engagement when you have your video games right next to you, you have your WhatsApp next to you, your social media, et cetera. And so one thing that I did was I kept a little whiteboard next to me that kind of reminded me of things to do. On and you know, every time there was a call, I tried to go to it because that kind of showed a sense of community, because I wanted the people that were attending to feel like everyone's attending. And like, you know, if 20 people attend and are supposed to attend and then you only see five, it's kind of demoralizing. It's like, why should I be here? Well, I mean, a couple of learners pushed through and I'm so grateful for them, you know. And
I wonder if you could just talk about, because I think you were a good example of people who designed their own schedules really well. Because we didn't. I think the failing of a lot of schools is they just copied and pasted stuff and said you got to show up every hour. Like, whoa, that's crazy. That is exhausting. That's no good. But Cayman, maybe could you talk about a couple of the things that you chose to do and that were the things that you got to work with?
The first week was really hard for me because I didn't choose the schedule that fit me, but I chose like. They gave us the option to choose things that we like. So I did some things that were related to working out. In that way, it kept me on schedule working out. Then there was a kind of a way that I made it to where the workshops were first or something like that. And then the activities or the things that I had to do were later on in the day. It was made to keep me engaged, because some things, if you had workshops from back to back, like I would have burnt out. So I kind of made it to where I could be fully engaged, you know?
Wow. This is blowing my mind. Okay. Now, all of you thinking of college, or do you want to go to college? What are you thinking? Or do you want to start your own thing? Because all the options are there for you, but what are you thinking about post learn life?
To me, I'm like in a position in my life where everyone is going to college. I just turned 18. I happily just graduated last week from high school.
Congrats.
Thank you. So my mom is being really pushy to go to college. And I don't wanna, it's not something I'm closing. It's a huge door and it could be a great experience, but it's not something I'm looking forward for. Right now in Learn Life, my position right now, I'm going to stay another year in Learn Life. but just to see what it's going to be my next step, what is going to be the next step I'm going to take. It might be college. I have that door open, but it's not something I'm excited about right now. I would love to keep working on my projects and keep growing and start working and getting to know what's the real world. I have a big project in my life that it's moving out of my house, and other personal projects that are related to my passions.
Pablo, could you talk a little bit about, I mean, because intentionally the Changemakers program is about helping you kind of prototype what your next step could be and testing it out. Could you talk about maybe like, what does that look like for you? Why would you choose as an 18-year-old to stay another year so that you could figure out and have that kind of launch pad to what happens next?
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of young people would have chose to stay in their house and just stay in their house. What is their next step? But in my house, I would not do anything. Something that I'm really happy here in Learn Life is that they push you to take your next step, not push you to do the things that they ask you for, or they push you to do what you like. You do what you like. You don't do what they ask you for. If you don't want to, I do it because it's really helping me to grow as a person and grow other skills I will not grow in a normal school. But I decided to stay another year. I don't know if it's going to be a year, but a little bit more next school year to see what are those next steps. And we have a lot of workshops where during this transfer week, I was not here because I was on a trip in Mexico, but what I heard, they visited a lot of colleges.
Yeah,
I had a chance to visit a college really similar to LearnLab that was really cool. Also something really important, they helped me a lot. Doing project presentation for big brands or brands that I admire a lot, and present them to them and having interviews with them. They prepared me for interviews. So we had like little simulations for interviews. That was amazing because at the moment when I had the interview, I was not nervous. I was like, here I am. But
you're ready. You're ready. Ready. I can see it in your voice. You just want to get into the real world and start practicing everything.
Yeah, it's just, I want to think about it. I don't want to take a stupid decision. You know, I want to, I really want to have all the papers in the table and be like, okay, let's see what we're about to do.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But yeah, they're really helpful doing cover letters, doing the CV. I did everything here. My mom is really supportive with everything. She has her points of view, and also something really important for my mom. It was to get used to me not having homework when I get home. Get used to me doing different stuff. Get used to me going to Cayman's house to help him with playing guitar and stuff like that. So,
okay. All right.
It's like for my mom, something when I started here, it was really uncomfortable to not see a kid doing normal kid stuff in normal school.
Yeah.
But she got used to it. She supports. My parents have always been really supportive, and that's something I really appreciate. And I'm really thankful for them for being like, hey, go to this interview in September. Because I've only been here in September, and I feel like I'm a whole different person for who I was in September. Like,
gotcha.
I am a mature 18-year-old.
Well, that's good to hear. I want to hear Jesus and Mateo. You're hearing this. You know what is happening in you? Because you know, listen to Pablo. He's talking about how much he's grown with the program. What have you two learned about yourself while you've been in the program?
I think I can answer that one. So I have found out that personally, I have a lot more ability to work than I thought, because in traditional school, I really, really struggled to get any work done. Most of what pulled my grades down was really the lack of homework I was able to deliver. I was really, really, really bad at self-management, time management, and just making sure I stayed on top of things. And through the program, I've discovered that I can really achieve much, much more than I thought I could just by figuring out how to better time manage myself, and how to, well, really just take home things that I would enjoy, right? Rather than, you know, looking at it as an, you know, entire essay I have to write, break it down into bits, and just work at it slowly.
Working on some really cool projects. Could you just tell us about the, like, I mean, because it's amazing for someone to come from a traditional school, feel like they're not great at that, but to come here and do the level of things Zeus is doing blows me away. Can you talk about some of the things you're working on?
Sure, I'll be more than glad to. One of the longest projects I've been doing so far is I've been working on it's a small company idea. We haven't really fleshed it out in the aspect of pricing, or we basically have a product which is it's a sign-in box where it's basically an RFID scanner. You just have a card, you scan your card, and it uploads your the details, like what time of entry, and a bunch of other COVID-related things to a spreadsheet. And it's for businesses, well, mainly for schools to better manage entries and figuring out how to best deal with the COVID crisis in the case of an outbreak within the schools. They can basically see they basically have the data to deal with COVID cases, and it's just data for schools, basically.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Just wanted to stop by here before we get back to the episode. I wanted to let you all know that I do have a collective for people who are interested in developing their cultural competency skills, becoming more anti-racist. And it's a resource of things that you can do with your family, with your school, with yourself to work through your individual journey to become a better culturally competent leader. It's called UID Collective, and the link is in the show notes, but it's a mix of courses, it's a mix of resources, things you can download, and all you need to do is sign up as a member. It's a monthly membership. I'd love for you to check it out, use it with your friends, use it with your family, use it with yourself, okay? The link is in the show notes. It's called UID Collective, and it's for those of you that want to improve your cultural competency skills. Back to the episode.
Wow. Yeah, it's appropriate. I guess it's of the times. And so would you say that you have a problem solver mentality? Seems like you're attacking a problem that's immediate right now. It looks like you're creating a solution for that.
Yeah, I would definitely say I have a problem solver mentality. Most of the projects that I've resonated the most with have been, here's a problem, you have 3 days to fix it, do something about it.
And you didn't get that opportunity in the traditional schools that you have. Gotcha.
I never got even the glimpse of a chance. It was more like, this is some right now irrelevant information that you may or may not need in later life. This is what I learned through my projects, right? Is here is all the relevant information you need to create X end product, right? Which is then applicable, which you can then allows you to see the paths much better than if just the way schools teach information, even if it's necessary, they hand it to you in a format that just feels like it's not going to be useful, right? Even if you know you're going to be doing advanced algebra in the future, and even if you know this is going to be relevant, it's really hard to visualize and like take the concepts they give you and break it down into something you can apply to everyday life. Whereas with a more project-based approach, it's much easier to take those core fundamentals that you learn and just snap them together like blocks to build other projects.
Wow. Fair enough. Well, Mateo, what have you learned about yourself throughout the time you've been here?
I think I learned about myself more in, well, so sorry about this, but so what I learned about myself, I learned that I could be more confident, because before, and also in traditional schools, I was not confident at all, like zero. Like I was not confident.
Yeah.
Because people like all the homework or the stress or like the essays. Yeah. It's a lot of essays. Those three things stressed me a lot. And also my confidence to like tell the teacher, you know, to talk to the teacher about it.
Yeah.
And writing, because before I learned about myself that I could write more, because I had something I wanted to do this since a long time, because I lived in Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, I had a bit of the same school as Learn Life at that moment in Morocco. It was a bit more different. So you could have your own planning, but over there, I was planning to make a movie because personally, I want to be an actor when I grow up.
Okay. All right.
And right now, I wanted to make a movie over there, okay? And I was not good at writing. I was terrible at that. So I didn't have a lot of my imagination. So since we came to Barcelona after the traditional school, when I came here I learned about myself that I could write more and have more imagination. And right now I know that I can write more, have more imagination. I'm actually starting to make the movie again that I wanted to make before.
And speaking of confidence, he's on a podcast with you right now, and he's also in front of the entire community. He's done puppet shows, like these comedy puppet shows, in front of hundreds, like 100 plus people. So yeah, I would say your confidence is significantly
grown. Yeah, and that's how I reach my confidence. Also for the puppet show part, I Learn Life puppets. I like puppets a lot because when you go on stage with a puppet, don't you feel that when you go on stage with a puppet, it feels that someone's actually next to you?
You know, I have to take your word for it because I've never done a puppet show, but I've only seen it. So,
trust me, because when you go on stage with a puppet, like literally three times, when a puppet called Chives,
right?
Three times, I think I did three times with him, three times, and I felt he was real. For one moment, I swear to God, I thought I didn't even touch him. He was like three, sad, like, I swear, and I thought, oh my God, he's real. And that's what made me feel more confident. Puppet shows and talking in front of people.
This is going to make you a great actor because you can imagine what that is, especially if you're doing the CGI projects. You were talking to someone like Thanos. Thanos. Okay. I have a question for you, Devin. Now, you've put, this is a successful, what I'm hearing, this has been successful. It's been for 2 years, right?
We've been running for four.
Four years. Now, you described it as the first iteration of this. Does that mean that you're planning to grow this in different parts of the world?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, for example, I'm running trainings with people who want to open hubs in Brazil, Romania, Qatar, Switzerland, and Germany, who are all launching this year or have already launched. And we just signed a contract with the Ministry of Education in Hamburg, Germany, and they want to open 10 different mini versions of what we're doing. And it's an idea whose time has come. And the people hear about what we're doing, they come for a visit and they say, I want that. And so what we're ramping up now to do is to support that. So that's why you all, Zeus, Paulo, came in, Mateo, are so important, because you are helping spread the message. And I think a lot of people, they come and see the amazing work you are able to do. They're so impressed. And so,
well, you know, that's why I'm asking the question, because people who are listening right now can say, well, I like what I'm hearing from the learners. I like what I'm hearing from you. What can they do to, you know, make sure that they can replicate this in their systems? How can they contact you, or is there a form they have to fill?
You're making Brian so happy with this question. Join the alliance. if you go to our website, we're looking for like-minded people who want to join the movement to sign up and get involved. And we have paradigm conversations, host networking events and these kind of things, because it's really important for people to find their tribe around this, to connect with others, because having taught in a variety of places where I felt really isolated as an educator, like I didn't have that community, it's now so much easier to do online. And so we host events semi-annually and these kind of chats and things. So please join the alliance. And
now the alliance, for those listening, I'll make sure I put that in the show notes, but that alliance link will be the way for you to then create your own hub and or to join a part of your community. Now, your larger goal for this is to have this in every continent, I'm assuming?
Our ambitious goal is 100,000 schools in the next 10 years will be using some part of the Learn Life model. And we think that's going to be possible at the rate that we're developing a tech platform to support it so that we can be open source and share a lot of what we're doing in the methodologies and also enable learners to connect from all over the world. We also have a remote hub that we're calling Home Hub so that learners can connect from all over the world and start joining now. One of the big issues was we had this demand coming in, but we were like, well, how do we get involved? And so now you can take workshops online. If you go to the Learn Life website, you'll see Home Hub is a part of that and can connect. And so, every continent, we want to figure out low-tech solutions to start figuring out how to help communities that have less access to high-speed internet so that we can still be involved. One of our next projects that we're working on is in Kigali in Rwanda. We have a group of people that we collaborate with down there, and so we want to help them. It's interesting. They asked us to build something or collaboratively create with them some solution for learners who've already gone through school, but they need the kind of enterprise skills to turn what they know into a business, because that's the biggest demand right now in Central Africa is oftentimes people have to be job makers rather than job takers, and so they wanted us to support down there. And so we hope that whatever we do down there, then we can scale into other parts of Central Africa to support and kind of continue to collaboratively work with communities there.
Such a fascinating, brilliant concept. Again, for those listening, it'll be in the show notes, be this learnlife.com. And there are multiple things where you can work with them, you can collaborate with them. They're going to create, you know, different paradigms for you to follow. So if you're an educator, you're a parent, caregiver, or, you know, a learner, an aspiring learner, you know, multiple opportunities for that. What about on the business side though? You know, I imagine you need some capital, right, to get there. Are you open to investors and people who are looking to fund programs?
Yeah, I think we're definitely open for investors who understand that we're for-purpose business and that we're trying to, the ideas that we'll eventually have a foundation driving this. The more capital we can get in, the quicker we can do good work. So absolutely.
Okay. You, on your end, what you've seen, and what you currently see right now with the pandemic, this is my experience. Becoming a professor during the pandemic really gave me a peek behind the glands, and the people that I felt the most sorry for were the learners and the students, because I don't feel like a lot of the educators were prepared to deliver a training outside of a physical environment. And I would hear from my students from other classes that, you know, someone is reading in front of a monotone way, or they didn't get the experience, or they could read this or watch this on YouTube, right? I heard all these things. You having this vantage point, what do you feel like educators need to focus on to get the best out of learners?
That's a good question. Maybe I'll pass that to the learners. Is what do you all feel like is the greatest value that the learning guides offer you that might be different than what a teacher offers you? Because I think, in answer to your question, it's we need to just fundamentally rethink what value teachers and learning guides offer. Because if it's transmission of information, that's dumb. There's Google. Like, you can do that.
So exactly. That's what I'm saying. It goes, you can just Google all these things. Right. Basically.
There's a guy who has a blog called The Ungoogleable Curriculum, which I think is really interesting to think about this idea of, like, if it's Googleable, why teach it? But I'm curious to hear from you guys. What do you think is the value that the learning guides add to your life that isn't just putting information in your brains?
Well, if I were to say, it would definitely be support. Really excel in is giving support to students in ways that they really need it, right? But not just informational support, or if they need support with some learning, they also support on an emotional level to make sure you're in a good enough state to be to learn as quickly as possible and as much as possible. They really make sure they just really support you on a day-to-day basis and really ensure your well-being and your mental well-being as much as possible, and they really try to drive you towards your goals through just being there and making sure you're okay.
That's right. I believe mental well-being, I think, is the number one for sure. I had that in things that I was learning. Okay, so you're saying support, Zeus. What do you think, Pablo came in? And
Mateo,
sorry, go ahead.
I wanted to highlight something. Oh,
Go ahead, Pablo. I'll tell Mateo the question.
I wanted to highlight something Devin said. Here, teachers are not called teachers, are called learning guides.
Learning guides.
Okay, they're still teachers. Like, here we don't call homework. It's deliverables. It's still homework. But the energy that it's behind the words they use, it's an influence to what we actually do. How the word says learning guides, I think something really important, and especially for us that we're the older guys here in the old, the bigger group that it's called change makers,
yeah,
is that they actually guide us to our next step. So a part of teaching us a lot of skills, a lot of things that are going to be useful in the real world outside, they're actually guiding us instead of teaching us.
I love that. That's a reframe, but it's a different way to look at it. So, okay, I see that. So guide, yeah. Support, interesting.
What I want to say is, I don't know if you had something to say. Did you have something to say? Well, I wanted to focus on the fact that they really dedicate a one-on-one effort to us. So it's not like we're one of the 100 learners that come here. It's more like they build a relationship between the learner and the learning guide. And if something's wrong, even if it's learn life non-related, like, you know what I mean? It's outside of the school.
Right.
Learning center, they still care, and they'll try to, if you reach out to them, they will still help you. It's more like that, what's it called?
No, also adding to that, each person has a mentor. So that's really important because you create a relationship, like, and they help you. And something I want to say, they listen to you here. It's not like, oh, math, exam, do this. No, it's like, Pablo, what you want? Oh, I want this, and that. Okay, let's. They're not like, here you are. No, they're like, okay, let's try to get there. This is what we have to do, or this is what you should do. And something I want to say, I will forever be grateful to my mentor, shout out Anna, because she legit changed my life. Like, she has helped me so much to grow as a person, and without her, I will not be in the spot I am right now in my life.
Wow. Well, I love hearing that. Devin, you gotta be proud of the program that you all are creating. That's a beautiful thing to just experience and just hear.
It's so basic, no? Like, human relationships should come first.
Right.
Don't treat people like numbers. It's like, I mean, that's part one of the big reasons I went into education is the first school I worked at in Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn was like designed like a prison, and the kids were treated like prisoners, you know? And so I was like, this is got
to unfortunate. Oh, well, you know, you said Bed-Stuy. I'm in New York, so this is...
This was in 2000, mind you. So I know Bed-Stuy looks a lot different than it did.
It's
when it was
so there. Different. Yeah. Well, before we wrap up, I want to, you know, ask you all what you all are doing outside of Learn Life. You know, are you following anything? Are you... Well, what are your hobbies? What do y'all do? What do you do?
I especially, when I think after Learn Life, well, I don't know, because of COVID, acting classes is mostly not like in the week.
Yeah.
Well, I did mostly Wednesdays, but I didn't really accept it. But I go to acting classes.
Uh-huh.
I find it really fun because I've been doing acting, I think, for four years, nice. If I remember. And... I think it's very fun after school.
Who's your favorite actor?
Yeah, that's a good question. to be honest, Jim Carrey, I think.
Jim Carrey? You watch Jim Carrey? How? You?
I watch Jim Carrey. I watch everything.
You know what? That is how I know you're a true cinephile. That is, if you can pull Jim Carrey, yo.
Okay. Yeah, I thought they wouldn't know. I mean, you and our generation, certainly, but yeah, I didn't even realize that.
I had no idea. I'm so impressed. Jim Carrey. Very, very. Okay. All right. What about the rest of you? What do you all do outside?
I play basketball on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays.
It's my favorite sport. I'm a basketball, soccer, tennis, I don't know. This might be where we fight now, because I'm LeBron James is my favorite athlete of all time. So I don't know if you're into someone else.
might... it's understandable. LeBron James is something else.
Who do you follow? You say you play basketball.
I play basketball, but I don't watch much NBA or sport, unfortunately. I do. I've been training for like 3 or 4 years now, and everyone on my team says I should be following the ABC or the NBA, right? But I can never quite get into it, unfortunately.
Like, no, that's good though. So you're doing something. So you're saying so you basketball for you, and I know Mateo is.
Yeah, I also do Robot Wars after schools as well. It's a little club I started where there's a local robot competition here in Catalonia. I've also been hosting that on the days I don't do basketball.
Wow, good for you. All right.
A good example of people who wanted to get involved. We had a guy who's an aeronautics engineer who's like, how can I help? I'm like, we got some kids who want to do Robot Wars. You want to mentor some Robot Wars? And so
that's so brilliant. Oh, I love this. And then to wrap up, Pablo and Cayman, what do you do outside of?
I have two things that I'm really passionate about. One is football or soccer.
Football, yeah.
Yeah. And the other one, Learn Life helped me a lot with music. I love music, and you know, it's for my mental or my well-being in total.
I love that. And from what I heard earlier, you're learning to play the guitar. Is that correct?
Yeah, I learned to play, like, I only knew, like, two instruments before I came here, and now that I've been here for a couple years, I've learned 6 or 7.
Oh, look at you, like Bruno Mars out there, like, you're a prince. The artist already known as Prince. All right, you're building your musicality. Favorite football team, since we're both saying the same language. What's your favorite?
PSG, okay?
PSG! Yo, rest in peace. No, I'm saying, look, I can't say anything because I'm a Manchester United fan, and we haven't had our glory days since Sir Alex Ferguson. But
you guys might win the Euro.
Huh?
Yeah, you guys might win.
Yeah, but you know, when I was growing up, we were Champions League level. now we're, but we'll get back. We just need to work on getting the owners out, Glazers out. But okay, and to wrap up, UK, Pablo, sorry.
Well, I call myself a creator because I do a lot of creative things. Let's just say that my three fields that I'm more professional at, it's photography. I'm a film photographer. And I take pictures of models, places I travel. And now this year I've been growing, and I take pictures of models. So Instagram influencers or famous people just text me on Instagram asking for a job or whatever. I want to shout out my Instagram.
Shout out your Instagram.
Pablo, P-A-V-L-O. N-E with the lowercase.
This guy,
bro. I had to do it. Hey, good.
So now, do you travel? I know COVID is restricted, so
I just came from Mexico. Last, like, 2 nights ago, I just came from Mexico to see my family.
Okay. So for now, you know, people, if you want rates, you know, check out his Instagram, and if you like his work, you know.
But also, I love fashion. I'm a big Carhartt head. Here, Carhartt Whip in Europe is really powerful. And also, I had some projects where I'm doing like clothing lines where I recycle vintage denim and I paint on them, and I do one-of-one pieces that then I try to sell or I wear by myself.
Sheesh. Okay. Well, I mean, I usually ask my guests at the end of the podcast how they're using the difference to make a difference, but I feel like you've answered that question. My mission statement is use your difference to make a difference. And so I have to commend you all, change makers, for doing this. You know, I this is the beginning of a relationship that I'm building with the school. And so I hope to see you all, beyond this, and to be able to be a resource in any way I can be. But thank you all for spending time, and I'll definitely let you know when the episode is out. As you all creators know, there are many in the backlog, but this is going to come out at some point. But when it comes out, I'll let you all know.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the opportunity. It was really great to talk.
Pleasure's mine. Thank you all. It's been a real pleasure.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.